Welcome to this week's Ox Talk for Tuesday, the 23rd of July, 2024. This week's news items from the local papers were selected by Diane Sider and Leslie Court and read by Janet Proudman and Leslie Court. The copying and distribution of the USB sticks is by Michelle Lawful, and the technical officer, that's me, is David Field. After the news items, Jenny reads a poem suitable for the season called In Summertime. Today, sunrise is at 5:15 in the morning and sunset is at 9:05.
The biggest news of the second half of the week has to be Blenheim Palace playing host to the meeting of European leaders. On the 18th of July, the King landed by helicopter at Blenheim Palace and mingled with world leaders, including Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, as Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer hosted an historic occasion in Oxfordshire. King Charles arrived at the Woodstock Mansion, the birthplace of Winston Churchill, mid-afternoon for the European Political Community Summit. More than 45 leaders gathered at the palace, where Mr. Zelensky called on delegates to show collective will against Russia following Vladimir Putin's full-scale invasion in February 2022. During the summit, 44 countries and the EU agreed to target the shadow fleet of tankers seeking to evade sanctions on Russian oil. The leaders were also set to attend a reception hosted by King Charles in the palace's long library, which has walls lined with more than 10,000 books. Earlier, Sir Keir Starmer said he intends to reset our relationship with Europe as he hosted leaders from across the continent at a major summit. The Prime Minister is using the European Political Community gathering to push for closer security ties and joint action to tackle illegal migration. The summit comes as the new Labour government attempts to forge closer links with the European Union after the turmoil of the Brexit years. Sir Keir said, "European security is at the forefront of my government's foreign and defence priorities. We will only be able to secure our borders, drive economic growth and defend our democracies if we work together. It's time to reset our relationship with Europe." Sir Keir personally greeted leaders as they arrived at the 18th Century Palace. As part of the drive to tackle illegal migration, the government has redeployed more than 100 Home Office staff from working on the now-scrapped Rwanda scheme to focus on a rapid returns unit to send people with no right to be in the UK back to their home country. The Prime Minister called for continent-wide action to tackle the international people smuggling webs. Flanked by Volodymyr Zelensky during the opening of the summit, the Prime Minister said the first task of the European political community is to confirm our steadfast support for Ukraine. Every day, Ukraine's fight affects not just the Ukrainian people, but the European people, he said. A continent where our belief in freedom, democracy and the rule of law was hard won and that wants to live in peace. Mr. Zelensky said he would sign an intergovernment agreement with the UK on support for the Ukrainian defence and industrial complex, discuss future defence cooperation and expand our defence capabilities. Since the first days of the full-scale invasion, the UK has been one step ahead in its determination to support Ukraine. This is the kind of resolve we need to stop Russian terror, he said. Later, Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer declared Britain to be back on the world stage during his conference at Blenheim Palace. Taking to the stage after a slight delay, Sir Keir spoke after a day of talks at the European political community and following the arrival of King Charles. He answered questions on Ukraine, illegal migration and border control, as well as the presidential campaign between Joe Biden and Donald Trump in the USA. The Prime Minister also pledged £84 million in foreign aid to help stop irregular migration at source during his speech. After answering questions from the media, he described the day at the former home of Winston Churchill in Woodstock as being very successful. "It's been very good from our point of view. It's been a very successful session today of the European political community," he said. "I'm very pleased we've been able to host it and to be able to host it here in this splendid place. With the weather, which we can't take credit for, it has added to the real sense that Britain is back on the world stage. I am really pleased that most of the leaders, if not all, are leaving here with a sense of a new renewed confidence with their relationship with the UK, with a real understanding of what we mean by a reset. During the conference, Sir Keir accused the previous government of a dereliction of duty on migration. He said, "We've got record numbers this year. We can't switch that in 24 hours or 1 week. 2 weeks ago today, we were still knocking on doors, asking people to vote for us." Asked about the risk to support for Ukraine should Mr. Trump and his running mate, J.D. Vance, win in November, the Prime Minister said, "Those elections will take place. It will be for the American people to decide who they want to elect into office, and we will work with whoever is elected, as you would expect. That is what I mean about maturity and leadership, not just within Europe, but more widely, and of course with the US. And the special relationship that is there between the US and the UK was forged in the most difficult of circumstances, endured a very long time, and we are committed to it."
A new Oxfordshire bus ticket, now available to passengers, offers unlimited travel on most local services. The My Bus Oxfordshire ticket allows passengers to travel around the county daily or weekly, covering close to all routes and operators for a fixed price. A ticket costing £6.50 a day and £25 a week for adults, or £3.50 a day or £14.50 a week for under 19s, provides individuals with unlimited access to over 150 bus services run by 12 operators in Oxfordshire. This offer has been the work of the Oxfordshire Bus Enhanced Partnership, a collaboration between Oxfordshire County Council and the county's bus companies. This partnership seeks to promote the use of bus services through Bus Service Improvement Plan funding provided by the government. Councillor Andrew Gant, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Transport Management, said, "Whether you want to explore the county or make your journey to work easier, the MyBus ticket presents a simple, joined up and good value bus travel solution for Oxfordshire's residents and visitors."
Hollywood megastar Tom Cruise has been seen holding onto a plane for dear life in Oxfordshire. He was reportedly filming for his latest Mission Impossible Daredevil stunt. The actor, who will return to screens as Agent Ethan Hunt next year, clung to the underside of a yellow Stearman biplane as it flew over the county. He was joined on set by Isai Morales, who plays mysterious terrorist Gabriel in the franchise, as they appeared to grapple in the sky. Isai was seen in the back seat of the plane, with Tom later left hanging onto the side after the aircraft flipped upside down. This is not the first time the acting legend has been to Oxfordshire, as one of his most daring movie stunts was filmed in the county. Mr. Cruise used a disused quarry near Wallingford to practice what has been dubbed one of the most spectacular stunts in cinematic history. The Mission Impossible film series began in 1996 and is based on the 1966 television series of the same name. The filming of the eighth instalment took place between March and December 2022. Mission Impossible 8 was meant to be filmed back-to-back with Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, but hit delays. The new film is scheduled for release in the US on May the 23rd, 2025.
More than 100 objects from across the globe, from coins and banknotes to artworks by Andy Warhol, Guerrilla Girls, Grayson Perry, and Banksy, to the new phenomenon of cryptocurrency and NFTs, will be on display at the Ashmolean from August the 9th. The exhibition will explore our complicated feelings about money, from disgust to desire, and reveal the art hiding in notes and coins that we rarely consider. It offers an insight into the painstaking process and marvellous creativity involved in the production of money across the globe and throughout history. Sculptors, engravers and calligraphers, graphic designers, painters and photographers have made impressions on everything from ancient coins and ingots to modern banknotes. The exhibition explores the image of rulers found on currency, from emperors like Nero, right up to the present. It opens with a very rare set of coins with a complicated design process, those planned for Edward VIII. Edward's challenging brief to his designers was to produce a modern coinage. He also demanded that he be depicted facing left, believing his features to be more favourable on that side. Tradition held that new coinage depicts the monarch facing the opposite way to the predecessor, and it was Edward's turn to face right. Neville Chamberlain, Chancellor of the Exchequer, ruled then that the king was to have his wish. After heated negotiations over the final designs, the king actually abdicated, so the coins exist only as patterns. Money's power to turn an image into an icon is nowhere clearer than the example of Queen Elizabeth II, who died in 2022. Across the globe, a vast population were familiar with the Queen through her monetary portraits. The first notes bearing her likeness were issued in Canada in 1954, based on Yusuf Karsh's pre-coronation photograph. Her Majesty's intricate curls of hair acted as a security feature against counterfeits. But a conspiracy theory soon caused controversy. On close inspection and with a lot of imagination, a grinning devil's face appears in the hair, behind the Queen's left ear. The notes were redesigned and a new issue, Exorcising the Devil, came out in 1956. Visitors will also see one of the most reproduced artworks in the world, the plaster bust of Elizabeth II by Arnold Machin, made in 1966, which appeared on billions of postage stamps as well as on money. Just like fashion, architecture and the visual arts, the design of money has been influenced by art movements and trends. In the early 20th century, Art Nouveau and Art Deco left their marks on money, both in Britain and abroad. The exhibition will show banknote artwork by Franz Matsch, Gustav Klimt and Coloman Moser. Their designs were typical of their wider work. The exhibition continues by examining the depiction of money in art, contrasting Western and Eastern traditions. In historic European artworks, money typically has an image problem. We find scheming usurers, grasping officials, and the dissolute rakes of Gilray's prints. The tradition from the Indian subcontinent and further east, though, treats money with a happier attitude. In many works, money stands for prosperity, plenitude, and fertility. In the hands of modern artists, money can be a provocative lens and even a medium itself to address politics and social values. Banksy's defaced tenor skit note of 2004, which replaced the head of Elizabeth II with the face of Princess Di, satirised their famous thorny relationship and the institution of monarchy. The exhibition will also show Susan Stockwell's spectacular Money Dress 2010, a sculpture of a Victorian dress made entirely from worldwide banknotes. The artist's original intention was to use only notes depicting women, but as these are so rare, they're confined to the collar, belt and cuffs. And Grayson Perry's monumental comfort blanket, 2014, is a tapestry based on a £10 note that explores the relationship between British National Identity and Capital. The final section of the exhibition considers the future of money in the wake of technological advances such as cryptocurrency. Dr. Shah Sturgis, director of the Ashmolean, says, "Although money is not usually considered an art form, the two have interacted and informed each other in many ways, and from the beginning of time. Including a range of dynamic and striking objects, Money Talks challenges our views of how money comes to be in our pockets and what happens to it and with it." The display is called Money Talks. The dates are 9th of August to January the 5th next year, and it's on the third floor of the Ashmolean. The tickets are £7.65 to £17.
There will be a party in Oxford to celebrate improvements made to a street to make it more pedestrian-friendly. Excuse me. The Market Street Party, hosted by Oxford City Council, is set to take place on July the 25th, kicking off at 12 noon. The day will include a welcome from Oxford's Lord Mayor, Councillor Mike Rowley, an array of family-friendly activities from Whatnot Theatre, the Story Museum, the Space Store and the Museum of Oxford, as well as balloon making and stilt walking. The evening slot from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. will feature live jazz by Fifi Lamere. On this day, the traffic on Market Street will be halted from 10 till 4. For further details, visit the Council's website. Oxfordshire residents will be the first in the UK to use a free new mobile app which saves energy and cuts household bills. The Energy Saver app is now available to all 172,000 Oxfordshire households with a smart energy meter. It does not matter if they own or rent their home or who supplies their energy. Oxfordshire County Council is supporting the delivery of this app, which will analyse gas and electricity use and suggest personalised actions for reducing bills. The app is open to all residents and is independent of energy suppliers. Councillor Pete Sudbury, Deputy Leader of Oxfordshire County Council with responsibility for climate change, environment and future generations, said, "In the middle of a cost of living crisis and a climate emergency, this exclusive offer for Oxfordshire is a fantastic way for residents to reduce their bills and cut their carbon emissions. We expect everyone who signs up will be able to cut their gas and electricity consumption by at least 7% and save themselves money. The app is independent of the energy suppliers, so there is no catch, and we're delighted to be pioneering it here in Oxfordshire. Later in 2024, over 500 householders representing a range of app users will be invited to trial energy smart appliances. These appliances include solar panels and batteries and heat pumps. The trial will remove the barrier of installation costs and help Oxfordshire homes become green. The Energy Saver app is provided by independent energy infrastructure and solutions provider SMS and its energy transition platform Metis. Tom Woolley, SMS and Metis Product and Strategy Director, said, "The app, powered by Metis, connects to your smart meter to automatically gather information about your electricity and gas usage. It then analyses the data to provide simple advice on how you can reduce your bills. Additionally, the app uses this information to suggest future steps for saving money through solar and heat pumps, customized to your household's specific needs. They can also set and track their budget and receive notifications about abnormal consumption. User data will not be shared with third parties without consent."
A group of primary school children who investigated which food animals at their school like the most have won a county-wide science competition. Year 4 children from Windmill Primary School in Oxford were declared the champions of the Big Science Event 2024 for Oxfordshire Primary Schools. their investigation answered the question, which food do animals like the best at Windmill School? Year 1 pupils from St Michael's Primary in Marston and Year 6 students from Ensham Primary were runners-up. The annual competition run by Science Oxford took place at the Science Oxford Centre in Headington on July the 8th, with children from 52 different primary schools competing for a place in the final. Prior contestants answered questions from how long does it take for spaghetti to go wiggly to how much air does it take to pop a banana. This year witnessed participation from 6,700 children registered for the event. After months of in-school judging, 12 teams were shortlisted to take part in the closely contested finals. Investigations ranged from which wrapping will keep jam sandwiches fresher for longer to do people answer questions better before or after exercise? Sophie Batin, Education Outreach Manager at Science Oxford, said, we've been extremely impressed by the talented young scientists taking part in the big science event in school. The children have so much fun creating their experiments, and the judging panel loves to listen to their presentations. As always, the standard has been extremely high, so it has been difficult to select a winner. Watching the children get excited by science is wonderful and rewarding. The big science event provides children with an opportunity to present their findings on their chosen topic to a panel of judges from Science Oxford, representatives from Dunn Light Source and Abbott. This year, the winning team received a personal microscope from RM Education Resources, as well as tickets to attend an Oxford Science Oxford Family Day. Their school received an easy scope from RM, plus a free visit to the Science Oxford Centre or in-school activities. Each child competing also took home a goodie bag from Abbott, a Power Lab science kit, and copies of Whiz Pop Bang magazine.
A new charity hub has opened at the John Radcliffe Hospital to boost donations for good causes. Oxford Hospitals Charity, which raises funds to make a difference across Oxfordshire hospitals, now has a fully staffed space to talk to more supporters, hospital staff and patients and help those interested in donating or fundraising. The new hub is located at the main entrance to Oxford Children's Hospital and provides a cheery welcome to patients and their families as they arrive. A pink ribbon was cut by 9-year-old Caden Edwards, who is a patient on Cameron's ward, and Professor Meghana Pandit, CEO of Oxford University Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, together with members of the charity team and hospital staff, to mark the official opening. Jamie French, who is leading the project for the charity, said, "We're so excited to launch our new charity hub and know that this will really help spread the word about the vital work that Oxford Hospitals Charity does in our hospitals. We're now here every weekday with a big smile to tell people more about the charity and make it quick and easy for them to donate, find out about our fundraising events, or simply learn more about the work this special charity does to help our hospitals. We'll be handing out activities for young patients to keep them entertained and distracted while we're waiting for appointments, and are ready to meet hospital staff who want to have a chat about how the charity can help their areas. Having charity staff on site working alongside some wonderful volunteers will allow us to provide even more support into the hospitals and respond more quickly to needs as they arise. We are incredibly grateful to NHS Charities Together for their kind grant to help us bring the hub to life, and the hospital company for kindly sharing the space with us, as well as staff across Oxford University Hospitals for their support and encouragement. Professor Pandit said, "Our hospital charity does so much good across our organisation, and I am delighted to see this new charity hub open." Douglas Graham, CEO of the charity, added, We have wanted to have our own space in the heart of our hospitals for a long time, so this really is a special moment. We know that having a team here on hand will make a real difference in so many ways, and it's lovely to see what a bright and friendly welcome the hub now offers. The new charity hub will be open 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. weekdays. Staff, patients and visitors are invited to come and say hello.
An unprecedented rise in homelessness in Oxford is set to cost taxpayers an additional £3 million a year, according to one politician. Oxford City Labour councillors discussed the issue at a cabinet meeting on Wednesday last week. As part of the council's response, they agreed to establish a framework for emergency temporary accommodation. Cabinet Member for Housing Linda Smith said, in April this year, there were 123 people in nightly charge households. Just 1 year ago, that number was 12. The year before that, the number was 2. This is a new demand being placed upon us. It is predicted this will cost the council an extra £3 million a year that we haven't budgeted for. Councillors at the meeting blamed the previous Conservative government for the rise. An officer at the meeting said the council has prepared a comprehensive package in response to the demand, which included increasing the amount of temporary accommodation stock and introducing mitigations against prevention. A council report adds the rise in homelessness is in line with the national picture, and the number of homelessness duties accepted in 23-24 was up 90% compared to 2021-22, while the placement rate has increased 170% in the same time period. Oxford City Council has a statutory duty to provide interim accommodation for households whom the authority has reason to believe are eligible, homeless and in priority need. The authority currently owns and manages 134 properties in its temporary accommodation stock, but if it is unable to provide temporary accommodation, is told it must source additional accommodation, which includes utilising bread and breakfast facilities. At Wednesday's meeting, Councillor Nigel Chapman also highlighted the mental health impact of homelessness. Councillor Alex Hollingsworth said he absolutely endorses the actions being taken and described it as trying to make the best of a calamitous situation. Mr Hollingsworth claimed Section 21 evictions, which the new Labour government has now banned, were a primary cause of the problem. A Section 21 eviction is a legal notice a landlord can use to evict a tenant from an assured short-hold tenancy without giving a reason. Different political parties have varying views on homelessness. Some of those on the right of the Conservative Party emphasise personal responsibility and tackling issues which they believe to be at the root cause of homelessness, rather than saying the council should be obliged to house people with taxpayer money. Oxford Council leader Susan Brown said, "What we have set out in terms of our response to this situation is excellent, and it's a huge amount of work, I know, that's been done by your teams to pull this together in very quick time."
An Oxford University college has announced plans to make better use of an historic forecourt in front of its main building. John's College in St Giles features a Grade 2 listed walled forecourt at the front. Now it has submitted a planning application to the City Council for a series of improvements. The college is seeking alterations and conservation works to the walled forecourt to provide new public amenity space, as well as the formation of two pathways with seating along the perimeter and two access ramps. The installation of a metal archway and metal gates on the west forecourt is also being proposed, together with new lighting and lit bollards along the existing footpath, lit curbs along the new pathways, and lighting to the existing Porter's Lodge stone archway.
The wall is the only remaining example of an enclosed forecourt on St Giles and was Grade 2 listed in 1968. The College has consulted Historic England about the proposals. Historic England said in a report, the proposals seek to make the forecourt a more inviting and accessible space, with a central meandering path bordered by wildflower planting on both sides. Overall, we consider the proposal to be an excellent opportunity to revitalise this rare space within the Oxford landscape. The plans follow a £10 million refurbishment at the College, which started in 2022. Work started at the College to refurbish its 16th century Old Library and 17th century Laudian Library. A total of 28 columns in the College's Canterbury Quadrangle were also replaced after they began to fail. The columns were one of the few examples of the high Baroque architectural style left in the UK and were originally made from locally mined Bletchingdon marble. The quarry from which it was taken, about 8 miles north of Oxford, has long since closed down. Stonemasonry experts and architects recommended a carboniferous limestone Swaledale fossil as the replacement. Planning permission was approved for its use. The work was carried out by Oxford-based construction firm Beard and was expected to be completed early last year. Earlier this year, the College consulted Vale of Whitehorse District Council about a new forestry building at Bagley Wood in Oxford Road in Kennington. It asked the council if prior approval was needed to build at the site in the same position as a dilapidated building which it hoped to demolish. A fire caused by a barbecue destroyed part of the original forestry building in 2020.
An Oxford Brookes University student has been selected to row for Great Britain in this summer's Paralympic Games. The Oxford Brookes University Boat Club OBUBC member Frankie Allen will be making her Paralympic debut as part of the Paralympics GB rowing squad of 10 athletes selected for the upcoming games. Physiotherapy student Ms Allen, who is from Wallingford in Oxfordshire, has been selected to row in the mixed coxed four, along with two Tokyo Olympics gold medalists, Guido Rakaskaiti and coxswain Erin Kennedy. Paralympics GB squad of 5 women and 5 men will be competing in 4 different boat categories. The 22-year-old said, after all the hard work and long hours of training, earning selection for the Paralympic Games is a dream come true. I'd like to express how grateful I am to the physiotherapy department at Oxford Brookes for the support and flexibility they've given me in juggling my time between rowing aspirations and study commitments. The coaching and support I've received from OBUBC has been invaluable in my journey to Paralympic Games selection. The Paralympic Games take place from August the 28th to September the 8th, with rowing events happening over 3 days at the Vers-sur-Marne Nautical Stadium in eastern Paris. Ms Allen and her crewmates will take to the water for the first time on August the 30th for the heats. Then, if successful, the finals will be held on September the 1st. Alongside her rowing commitments at Oxford Brookes, Ms Allen has been studying physiotherapy since 2020. Shortly after starting her studies, she trialled for the GB team and, alongside her Paralympic teammate Guido Rakaskaiti, became the first woman in sports history to win 2 world championship titles in one regatta. This was in 2022. Martin Lewis has warned the public over a scam involving himself, Jeremy Clarkson, Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran. The 52-year-old has revealed that a whole host of celebrities have had their profiles commonly misused in scam adverts. MoneySavingExpert.com analysed data from Action Fraud, looking at how frequently public figures were mentioned in scams reported to it in 2022 and 2023. Among those named was Oxfordshire farmer and TV host Jeremy Clarkson, as well as the King and former Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Simon Cowell, who has a mansion in the Cotswolds, was also among the famous faces named. Mr. Lewis himself topped the list in the analysis of the most featured public figures mentioned in reports to Action Fraud. Mr. Lewis said it's likely that the criminals pumping out these scam ads effectively use their own in-house dark web digital marketing teams, researching which celebrities and advert types get the best click-through rates, and honing the way they work to be able to attract more victims. Almost certainly, they will be collecting data on each public figure's power to draw people in, and how many people who respond to a celeb in an advert then go through to part with the money. Money-saving experts said Action Fraud data indicates victims have reported losing more than £20 million to scams misusing Mr. Lewis's profile in the past 2 years. The biggest individual reported loss attributed to a scam featuring Mr. Lewis was £500,000. If it's an ad with me in, it's always a scam as I don't do adverts. Topping this list is about the worst compliment I've ever had. The new government has promised to ensure that tech companies have a clear obligation and a clear financial incentive to work with banks to prevent scams, identify fraudulent transactions, and support victims. We'll be watching closely to see if it delivers. Ranked second in the list was singer Taylor Swift, who reportedly took up residence in Oxfordshire recently to rest over while partaking in the British leg of her Eras tour. Ticket scams for the global superstars' shows were rife with scammers trying to cash in on the popularity of the tour. Fans of Taylor Swift have lost out on an estimated £1 million since UK tickets for her tour went on sale last July, according to data published by Lloyds Bank earlier this year. Money-saving expert believes the data it looked at is likely to be a drop in the ocean, as many people do not report scams to the police. People in England, Wales and Northern Ireland can report a scam to the police by contacting Action Fraud. They could also contact the Advertising Standards Authority, ASA, about an online scam, in addition to contacting the bank and contacting the police.
The biggest fireworks event in Oxford will be cancelled if bosses decide it could damage the park. Oxford City councillors answered questions from members of the public and fellow political representatives at a full council meeting on July 15th. A question from Green councillor Alex Powell, who represents the St Clement's ward, requested updates and answers on the November the 5th fireworks display at South Park. This follows the 55th annual charity event last year, which organisers Oxford Roundtable said was a great success. Mr Powell also queried vehicle management at the event after residents criticised organisers last year, saying it had churned up the grass. Responding to the concern, Labour Cabinet Member for Business, Culture and an Inclusive Economy, Alex Hollingsworth, said, "My intention is to achieve a fireworks display that people can enjoy without damage to the park, and I don't think that those two things are mutually incompatible. The damage done to South Park as a result of the 2023 fireworks was unacceptable and cannot be repeated. For any future events in South Park, the council, working with Oxford Preservation Trust and Friends of South Park, will require a clear cancellation protocol to be in place with agreed deadlines by which events will be cancelled if the ground conditions are so poor that going ahead with an event will damage the park."
A hospital radio station has celebrated its 60th anniversary with a marathon broadcast. Radio Horton, which launched in 1964, mark the milestone with a 60-hour programming marathon. The station is based at Horton General Hospital in Banbury and offers patients and staff entertainment and information. It was created by journalists Ted Hansen and Graham Wilton, who wanted to improve patients' hospital experiences. The celebrations culminated in a live broadcast from the Horton restaurant on Monday, July the 8th. The live show saw presenter Anthony Brown interviewing station president John Craven about the music that shaped his life, with music requests from patients and staff. The Horton Power Choir also put on a performance for the occasion. Mr. Craven said, "Thank you to all the volunteers who made Radio Horton possible. 60 years is an incredible achievement, and it is a testament to your dedication that the station remains strong today." Volunteers Mel and Chris Kirkpatrick, Anthony Brown, James Hulbert and Tom Wilson received Long Service Awards for 15, 50 and 25 and 5 years of service. Former volunteers also attended to share in the nostalgia, presenting special programmes about their experiences at Radio Horton. An exhibition featuring photographs, memorabilia and press clippings, along with archived materials, showcased the station's history. Some of these will continue to be on display at the Radio Horton studio. Radio Horton Chair of Trustees Sam Smetter said, "We were thrilled to celebrate our 60th anniversary, where it all started. We wanted to create a special event involving our friends and colleagues from the Horton General Hospital and the Oxford University Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. Therefore, a live broadcast from a public area of the hospital was essential for this occasion. Radio Horton owes its existence to the incredible support of our volunteer workforce, from presenters to ward volunteers and those behind the scenes. To everyone who has ever supported Radio Horton as a volunteer over the past 6 years, including those sadly now with us, no matter your contribution, we are grateful for your part in keeping this great organisation thriving." He also paid tribute to Mr. Wilson, saying the station engineers' dedication, mentoring of volunteers and equipment upkeep are invaluable. Jamie French from the Horton General Hospital charity added, "The Radio Horton team made me feel so welcome, and it was a lovely experience to join in the celebrations marking this very special achievement. Volunteers make such a difference in our hospitals, and music and chat can have real importance in supporting patients during difficult times."
Beef smoothies, lactose-free ice cream and goat's milk puppuccinos are just some of the treats now on offer at an Abingdon dog cafe. If you're looking to treat your furry friend this summer and create lasting memories, the Dog Spot in the town's high street is a good place to visit. Opening in 2023 and recently awarded Oxfordshire's most dog-friendly business by blog Oxford City Dog, the Dog Spot is a top destination for dogs and dog lovers, a pet store, dog cafe and coffee shop, plus a grooming spa. With its own menu of healthy treats for hounds, they can enjoy a summer sundae made from vegan cream, goat's milk and beetroot powder. The cafe also serves delicious drinks and cakes for their owners. If your pooch has a birthday coming up, you could treat them and their friends to afternoon tea, including doggy peanut butter sandwiches, paw bon biscuits and pup cakes, all served on fine china. The Dog Spot also holds popular weekly events, including the Chatty Walk at 10 a.m. every Sunday and Tuesday, and Puppy Social 2 p.m. every Sunday, where dogs and their humans make friends and share tips. Owner Anna Browning said, "We've created our own community of dog lovers at the Dog Spot, which makes it a truly special place." A chief registrar at Oxford University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust has been recognised for his work in enhancing service pathways and delivering care. Dr. Alex Bunn was one of three winners of the Best Overall Project Award announced by the Royal College of Physicians. It recognised his delivering change and leading improvements across the Hospital at Home Ambulatory Unit project. A key part of the project was the creation and delivery of a realistic acute hospital at home simulation package devised and executed with the collaboration of the Trust's simulation lab. Combining real-world reenactments with live actors, the initiative aimed at intensifying situational training for healthcare workers. Mr. Bunn also actively participated in a consultative process with key stakeholders to revise and streamline patient pathways. The objective was twofold: augmenting capacity and ensuring safer and more profitable patient care. Moreover, Mr. Bunn, along with his team, integrated point-of-care ultrasound scans, which aided in diagnosing respiratory and abdominal conditions such as pneumonia, pleural effusion, and urinary tract obstruction more effectively. Owing to this advancement, the team could extend more at-home healthcare and promptly discern when patients require hospital care. On winning the award, he said, "Receiving the Chief Registrar Best Overall Project Award was a fulfilling experience. It was acknowledgement of the hard work and collective effort put into the projects by my hard-working colleagues in the acute hospital at home and ambulatory assessment unit teams." Mr. Bunn added, "This award highlights the significance of collaboration in reaching our goals, and I am proud and thankful for the unwavering support from my team and mentors. This recognition encourages me to persistently strive for excellence in my work." The role of Chief Registrar is established by the Royal College of Physicians to offer budding doctors an opportunity to rise to leadership, providing the important link between junior medical staff and consultants. The initiative has proved instrumental in implementing positive changes to services, the workforce, and education and training. Professor Dan Lassesen, clinical lead for the Acute Hospital at Home team, added, "Alex has been instrumental in setting up and delivering key projects for the Hospital at Home service that will improve the quality of our training and allow us to keep improving the quality of our care."
Michael Gove has been spotted with a University of Oxford lecturer after his divorce. The politician was photographed arriving at a London party alongside Dr. Lola Salem of the prestigious educational institution. Turning up at the event hosted by the Spectator magazine, the pair were pictured sheltering under a small grey umbrella. Mr. Gove recently split from his wife Sarah Vine, divorcing in 2022 after 21 years of marriage with the journalist. The former Tory housing secretary opted to stand down as an MP at the general election as the Conservatives lost by a landslide to Labour. Specialising in opera, Dr. Salem teaches French at Wadham College as well as tutoring music at Oriel College. According to her profile on the Oriel website, her research concerns opera, performers and other material conditions related to creativity during the long 17th century. She is also a trained singer and used to be an art critic for the French newspaper The IO Gazette, as well as writing for The Critic magazine. Mr. Gove wore a navy blue suit, while Dr. Salem was dressed in a checked red jacket in the rain at the annual event held in Westminster. The exact nature of the pair's relationship is currently unclear.
Proposals to restrict development in flood risk areas have been backed after a politician claimed householders across Oxfordshire watch the skies with trepidation. During a full county council meeting, there was widespread support for a motion brought forward by Green Kidlington councillor Ian Middleton. This called on developers to contribute to reducing existing risks in flood-prone areas and provide more powers to limit developments in these areas. Mr. Middleton's proposal, addressed to the County Council in its capacity as the lead local flood authority, comes after a bout of winter flooding in Oxfordshire. Mm. Speaking at the meeting, Mr. Middleton said, "What I'm asking for in this motion is not some kind of backdoor method to stop development, but to make sure we put the right houses in the right place. To develop in areas that are not going to create more problems with flooding and put those problems onto other communities. I've seen that firsthand in my own community." Seconder of the motion, Green Councillor Robin Bennett, said of flooding, "For the residents affected, it goes on years and years and years. Increasingly, with climate change and increased moisture in the air and all of the issues that follow, that's going to happen more and more and more." Conservative Councillor Nick Field-Johnson said he was happy to support the motion as we have a real problem with flooding in our rural communities. But the Labour group raised some concerns. Labour Councillor Charlie Hicks said, "Line 2 of the motion looks like trying to add an argument to blocking housing under what is otherwise a very reasonable set of concerns." Mr. Hicks added, "We of course have very significant concerns about flooding in our areas." All councillors voted in favour of the motion except Labour councillors who abstained. Speaking after the meeting, Mr. Middleton said, "My motion received wide-ranging support during the debate from most county council colleagues, including the Conservative, Lib Dem and Independent groups, which I was extremely pleased about. So it was disappointing when Councillor Hicks said that his group wouldn't be supporting the motion. The suggestion was that enhanced powers might be used to stop housing developments, which was never the intention, except in cases where they would either make flooding worse or if developers would not commit to providing improved protection for surrounding communities. It seems ludicrous to allow building on sites where surrounding areas could see flooding made worse."
This week, emergency services are calling on the public to be prepared ahead of their adventures this summer by downloading a free and potentially life-saving location app. The app is called What Three Words, which is spelt WHAT number 3 WRDS, What Three Words. It provides a simple way to communicate precise locations and is used by over 85% of the UK's emergency services. The research also identified that nearly a quarter of 16 to 24-year-olds will be heading to festivals, but concerningly, only 39% expressed confidence in being able to describe their location to someone and arrange a meet-up point. Additionally, over half of respondents said they would rely on their phone's GPS to help find their way back if they got lost during outdoor activities, yet less than half make sure they have enough phone battery before heading out, and only 27% pack a portable charger. This is cause for concern, given 1 in 4, 27%, of Britons have got lost during an outdoor excursion before. Emergency call takers cannot accept shared PINs and aren't always able to automatically detect a caller's exact location, although 40% of Brits assume that they could. What Three Words has created a simple way to communicate very precise locations by dividing the whole world into a grid of 3 metre squares and giving each square a unique identifier consisting of 3 words. The app works offline, meaning users can use it in areas with an unreliable data connection, such as popular summer destinations like festivals, beaches, national parks and campsites. What Three Words is available in over 60 languages to date and is free to download on iOS and Android. What Three Words is also used by the AA to enable faster incident response, with hundreds of AA members using the technology to communicate the precise location of breakdowns every day. Chris Wood, AA Patroller of the Year, said, With summer event season in full swing, downloading What Three Words can provide peace of mind in so many situations, whether you need to find your tent in a campsite, meet up with a friend at a busy festival, or your car breaks down on a road with no markers to describe your surroundings. Drivers can reduce the risk of summer breakdowns by preparing their car before travelling, including making sure you have enough fuel or electric charge, checking tyre conditions and pressure, and packing essentials like water, in case there are delays.
A popular Oxfordshire pub, which has featured on television, has reopened after its future was left uncertain due to months of closure. The Six Bells on the Green in Warborough operated for the last time on Wednesday, March the 27th, with the family in charge departing the pub. Former landlords Gary and Sam moved into the pub in October 2022, but ended their tenure after one last night with regulars. After months of the pub's future hanging in the balance, as the closure remained in place, new landlords have finally arrived to the rescue. Eve Griffin and Henry Clayton softly reopened the village's only pub recently, while renovations continue. "I am in love with the area. It's so beautiful," said Miss Griffin. "It's so important for us to move here, and the village has been so welcoming to us, and the residents are so excited to have their pub back. We're open softly, so just the bar at the minute is open, because we have essential maintenance going on in the kitchen, as we are getting new equipment in and having a deep clean. We've seen a lot of people coming since we reopened. The landlady is originally from Farnborough in Hampshire, but has travelled around a lot during her 15 years in the pub industry. She was most recently at the Terrace in Stoke, where she met Mr. Clayton from nearby Berwick Salome. I'm coming back after 30 years, as my family still live in Berwick and Benson," he said. "That was definitely part of the thought process of coming here, to spend more time with family. This is my first pub, as I had been a jouster over 2 decades, performing at historical locations such as Warwick Castle and the Royal Armouries in Leeds. The Watering Hole is an iconic television filming spot overlooking the village's cricket green, with the pub featuring in ITV crime drama series Midsummer Murders and several films. It's great to be in charge of a famous pub, and 2 coach tours have already called in," revealed Ms. Griffin. "We expect in the summer months that we will get a lot of customers due to the Midsummer Murders fanfare." The pair hope to fully reopen by August, once all the redecoration is done and the kitchen is up and running. "Physically it will remain the same, but with a freshen up, because we want to keep that oldie-worldy feel," said Mr. Clayton. "We want to brighten up the bar area so it isn't quite as dark inside, as well as redecorate the restaurant area. Come say hello and meet us, and we're very happy to be in such a historic pub. With the exception of Monday, the pub will be open each day of the week to welcome in Warborough's residents."
An Oxfordshire woman has been selected as Team UK vice-captain by the Royal British Legion for the Invictus Games in Canada in 2025, the first games to include winter sports. Gemma Barnes from Islip, who has been selected for Team UK as vice-captain, is looking to rebuild her confidence as a leader and connect with other veterans. In partnership with the Ministry of Defence, the Royal British Legion has revealed a 64-strong team who are all wounded, injured and sick serving personnel and veterans. The multi-generational team includes participants from all services who have been selected based on the benefit that the Games will contribute towards their recovery. "To do something that represents the UK again, and to do it with brilliant people who are of a similar mindset, who want to get better, I think that's really powerful," she says. At the Invictus Games in Vancouver, Whistler, Gemma will compete in adaptive events such as skeleton, wheelchair basketball and snowboarding. Gemma wanted to be in the military from an early age and served for over 15 years in the armed forces. After training initially as a combat medic in the Army Reserve at university. She then went on to commission as a physiotherapy officer, serving for 8 years in the Army Reserve and 7 years in the Royal Air Force, overseeing the rehabilitation of injured military personnel. She loved her job, but two serious leg injuries in the space of 18 months brought a premature end to her military career. Following her medical discharge in 2020, Gemma has continued to work as a physio and now works in her local community, supporting those with conditions such as Parkinson's and dementia. But she has found the transition to civilian life difficult at times and has continued to face physical and mental challenges as a result of her leg injuries. Established in 2014 by Prince Harry, the Invictus Games is an international adaptive multi-sport event for wounded, injured and sick servicemen and women, both serving and veterans, to participate in as part of their recovery journey. Louise Assian, the RBL's Team UK manager, said, "For the selected individuals, being part of a team again, representing their country and being around others who are all on their individual recovery pathway is what makes Team UK's journey to the Invictus Games so unique. The Royal British Legion is proud to support them every step of the way." The Invictus Games Vancouver Whistler 2025 will take place from February the 8th to the 16th. A cat, which was found picking her way through broken glass on a building site with three kittens, now lives a life of luxury on the Blenheim Palace estate. 2-year-old Daisy was exposed to perilous conditions, including a skip, broken glass and rat poison. Thanks to Blue Cross, the tabby now spends her time strolling through the gardens surrounding the Woodstock Palace, while her kittens are also in safe surroundings. Thomas Martin from Blue Cross said, "There was a skip, broken glass and rat poison on the ground as there was building work going on in the hotel and car park where she was found. Daisy was very friendly and we had the impression she might have been a pet in the past. She wanted lots of fuss and attention. But the kittens had clearly never been near a human before and were very scared and basically feral. We didn't know how we would catch the kittens running around the car park, but we were so worried about them and we needed to help. The kittens are all 2 months old and their mother were taken to the charity's rehoming centre in Burford." Mr. Martin said, "It was all worth it to reunite mum and kittens. It was so nice to have made a difference because they really couldn't have stayed in that situation. Going from a building site in a car park to Blenheim Palace is absolutely incredible." Since being found by Blue Cross, the kittens have all found loving and safe homes where they are thriving. Daisy's new home is the centuries-old Blenheim Palace estate, where she enjoys the luxury of vast woodlands and gardens. She lives at the self-catering lodges and is cared for 7 days a week by the on-site team. Park manager at Blenheim Palace Lodge Retreat, Simon Oliver, is Daisy's new owner. He said, "Daisy has settled in really well and everyone has taken to her. She'll just lie there for people to tickle her. She loves the attention. It's brought everyone together, having Daisy here. We're a good team anyway, but it's really compounded it." Blue Cross provides veterinary care, offers expert behavioural help and finds home for pets in need.
That was the last news item for this week's Ox Talk. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, then please ring Margaret on a new number, 07496 062280. And do please leave your name and contact or phone number so that we can return your call. This edition and previous editions of Ox Talk can be found on our website, oxtalk.org.uk. and you can listen there, or you can download an edition to listen at your leisure. And it's goodbye from me, and I wish you a peaceful week. Goodbye.
Paul Lawrence Dunbar, born in Dayton, Ohio, in 1872, and the author of numerous collections of poetry and prose, was one of the first African-American poets to gain national recognition. I'd like to read one of his poems entitled In Summertime. When summertime has come, and all the world is in the magic thrall of perfumed airs that lull each sense to fits of drowsy indolence. When skies are deepest blue above, and flowers are flush, then most I love to start, while early dews are damp, and wend my way in woodland tramp, where forests rustle tree on tree, and sing their silent songs to me. Where pathways meet and pathways part, to walk with nature, heart by heart, till wearied out, at last I lie, where some sweet stream steals singing by a mossy bank, where violets vie in colour with the summer sky. Or take my rod and line and hook, and wander to some darkling brook, where all day long the willows dream, and idly droop to kiss the stream, and there to loll from morn till night, unheeding, nibble, run, or bite, just for the joy of being there, and drinking in the summer air, the summer sounds and summer sights that set a restless mind to rights, when grief and pain and raging doubt of men and creeds have worn it out. The birdsong and the water's drone, the humming bee's low monotone, the murmur of the passing breeze, and all the sounds akin to these that make a man in summertime feel only fit for rest and rhyme. Joy brings all radiant in my breast, though pauper poor than king more blessed. The tide beats in my soul so strong that happiness breaks forth in song and rings aloud the welkin blue with all the songs I ever knew. Oh, time of rapture, time of song, how swiftly glide thy days along. Adown the current of the years, above the rocks of grief and tears, 'tis wealth enough of joy for me in summertime to simply be.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to OxTalk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable talking newspaper. Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to OxTalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help.